First, over to Yahoo Finance's Akiko Fujita for the latest on the developing situation between Russia and Ukraine. Akiko.
Good morning to you, Brian. Well, talks between Russian and Ukrainian officials are now underway along Ukraine's border with Belarus. This marks the first direct talks since the fighting began. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky making very clear he is calling for an immediate ceasefire. Meanwhile, the U.S. is stepping up its sanctions this morning, imposing a ban on any transaction with Russia's central bank. That is a historic move that essentially freezes up all of its assets here in the U.S. And this adds to crippling sanctions the U.S. and its Western allies imposed over the weekend. Number one, moving to cut some Russian banks out of the financial messaging system known as SWIFT, preventing roughly 70% of the country's banking sector from processing these international transactions. The U.S. also imposed direct sanctions on President Vladimir Putin, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, and the Russian National Security Team. And over in Europe, the EU has moved on a number of sanctions here, including imposing a blanket ban on all Russian planes. That means Russian aircraft can no longer take off, land, or fly over the EU. Now, the impact of these sanctions already taking shape. We saw the Moscow exchange closed for the day. The Russian ruble crashed, falling to a record low against the dollar. And that prompted the Russian central bank to more than double its key interest rate from 9.5% to 20%. And there are reports of Russians rushing to withdraw money. Long lines reported outside some of these banks. You see one right there. Amid concerns, banks would start limiting cash withdrawals and that their bank cards may not work. And we've seen a number of Western companies move out of Russia as well. BP, one of those companies, divesting its 20% stake from Rosneft. And there's a number of companies that have joined them as well. Now, out in the field, Russian forces are continuing to press into the capital city of Kyiv and the second largest city of Kharkiv. But Ukrainian forces have put up a fierce resistance, with Russians failing to take any major cities in the country so far. The UK government is reporting this morning that Russian forces still remain about 18 miles outside of Kyiv. That has led to reportedly Russians stepping up attacks, with Ukrainian officials now accusing Russians of launching rockets into a residential neighborhood in Kharkiv, killing dozens of civilians there. And of course, guys, we are continuing to see the humanitarian fallout of all of this. The UN Refugee Agency now reporting that 500,000 Ukrainians have fled the country. And we saw a lot of that video over the weekend with them crossing the border, especially over into Poland.
So many developments over the weekend. Thanks so much for breaking all that down for us. Yahoo Finance's Akiko Fujita. Let's take a look now at markets. Obviously, three things that we're watching for if we tried to boil everything down, looking at the Wi-Fi Interactive. The first, of course, would be the Russian ruble. We have seen a market deceleration, as Akiko was walking us through, in the Russian ruble against the U.S. dollar. One U.S. dollar now getting you about 98 Russian rubles. But keep in mind, the slide has been happening just over the last few days. When the fighting really began is when the acceleration began. Russian ruble originally at around an 80 to 1 U.S. dollar exchange rate before all the crisis kind of really accelerated. Now you can see it's continuing with the actions that were taken over the weekend to sanction not just the Central Bank of Russia, but a number of individuals, as was announced by the Treasury earlier this morning. And then one other thing I want to highlight here is just ways in which American investors can get access to the Russian market. One of the ways is the VanEck Vectors Russia ETF. It's actually up about 1.3% as of the end of Friday. We'll see what the market looks like once we do get the open at 9:30. You can see over the last 5 days, though, the big story for VanEck Vectors Russia ETFs and other Russian ETFs listed here in the United States has been low, low, low. It's been down about a third over the last 5 day period. If you zoom out over the last 2 week period or so, down about 40%. Interesting narrative, given the fact that a lot of people were saying get into emerging markets before the Russia-Ukraine situation really kind of picked up. So very interesting to see on that front. And Brian, I know that you've been watching some of the commentary with regards to the Russian economy and really the exposure there.
Yeah, and I should note too, the Russia moved to close its stock market too. So that's something to pay attention to as the sessions wage on throughout the week here, how markets respond to that. But yes, Brian, also watching Oil and BP. Over the weekend, BP said it would divest its a little more than 19% stake in Rosneft. That is the Russian oil and gas provider there. I was reading a good note out of Jefferies. It's unclear who will be stepping in to actually buy this, but nonetheless, BP will incur a $25 billion charge because of this asset divestiture. And you can see BP shares under pressure there in the pre-market, in large part because that really large $25 billion charge. Also, Brian, watching this interesting note here at a J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan, I would say, is the first Wall Street bank to step up here and try to estimate what all of these Western sanctions, higher energy prices, you name it, what that means to the Russian economy. J.P. Morgan saying that they could, you could see the Russian economy fall 20% from current levels and ultimately enter a recession. Now, I have more on this right now on the Yahoo Finance homepage via story, but still, that is a very big number. So I would suspect more banks will be following J.P. Morgan's lead here as the week goes along, trying to estimate what an isolated Russia means to its economy, if not the rest of the world.